take your Bibles in hand and turn to the book of Galatians, which I hope you're spending some time in these days, reading it, becoming familiar with it. The scripture reading is chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Spirit of God is the greatest teacher of all. Let's pray that he would illuminate our hearts and minds and speak to us as if we were the only one in this room, one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. It is one of the greatest gifts that you could ever give us. It is our very meat and drink. It is our life in this world, our wisdom and our insight. It gives us hope, Father, and we are so very grateful for it. And again, we ask that you would bless us in it, that you would send forth your word in such a fashion that it would not return unto you empty, but that you might accomplish your purpose for sending it, you might bear good fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jorge Rodriguez was the meanest, orneriest bandit on the Texas-Mexico border. The guy would often slip across the line, raid the banks of South Texas, and steal them blind. Before they could catch him, he would race back into Mexico and hide out. No matter how hard the law tried, they could never catch him. Finally, the Texans got fed up with this nonsense and decided to put the toughest Texas Ranger they had on the case. Sure enough, that got the job done. After only a few days of searching, the Ranger found the bandit in a dingy, dusty saloon south of the border. He bolted into the bar, pulled both guns, and yelled, "Okay, stick 'em up, Jorge. You're under arrest. I know you've got the money." Suddenly, a little guy over in the corner butted in. "Wait, wait, just a minute, senor," he said. "Jorge does not speak English. He's my amigo, so I'll translate for you." The Ranger explained, "Look, we know he's the bandit we've been looking for. We know he's taken thousands and thousands of dollars, about $1 million, actually. We want them back now. Either he pays up or I fill him full of holes. You tell him that." Okay, I'll tell him. So the little fellow turned to Jorge and repeated in Spanish everything the Ranger had said. The Texas Ranger, not knowing a word of the language, waited for the bandit's reply. Jorge listened, frowned, then responded in Spanish, "Okay, they got me. Tell them to go down to the well just south of town. Count 4 stones down from the top of the well. Then pull out the 1 loose stone. All the money I have stolen, I've hidden behind that stone." Then the clever little translator turned to the Texas Ranger and translated with a shrug, "Jorge says, go ahead, you big mouth, go ahead and shoot, because I'm not telling you where the money is." Sometimes people like to alter the message for their own advantage. And that's what we are seeing or going to see in the book of Galatians. Yet God is extremely serious about His Word, and we are not to tamper with or alter the message of the gospel for any reason. Not for our own advantage or for anything else. And yet that's exactly what some men have done here. And Paul says it is to their own destruction. And that message is true to this day as well. Here's the theme statement for you. Here's what we're going to take from the text. The Lord has given to His church the authority, the message, and the motive to preach His glorious gospel to the nations. It's all there for us. Around 50 AD, the Apostle Paul writes to the churches in southern Galatia. Judaizers have poisoned the gospel, and some of the brothers are quickly deserting the Lord. That's what's going on. Point number one, Paul's God-given authority. We see it in verses 1 and 2 of the salutation. He begins by saying, Paul, an apostle. An apostle, one who was sent with a commission, was an envoy, an ambassador, or a messenger who was chosen and trained by Jesus Christ as His special emissary for proclaiming His truth during the formative years of the church. There were 12 original apostles chosen by Christ. We know one of them betrayed Him. Another was chosen in the first chapter of Acts to replace Him. And then Paul was chosen, yes, later on by Christ Himself and also trained by Him. These men were eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. By the power of the Spirit, they were the authors of the New Testament Scriptures. They performed signs and wonders and miracles. The Lord sent them forth through His church to establish the New Testament church. Now let me show you, if you'll turn to the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, what took place in the life of a man named Saul, who we know as the beloved Paul. Paul says, my authority is from God. It's not from men. Acts chapter 9, Saul is still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He goes to the high priest. He receives the letters of authority to bind men and women and bring them back to Jerusalem. Now, on his way, as he approached Damascus, suddenly a blinding light from heaven flashed around him. Saul fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Now, the men traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Only Saul saw the risen, glorified Christ. He rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he couldn't see anything. He was blind. He took him by hand to Damascus. He waited 3 days. Without sight, he neither ate nor drank. Now, there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, and he said, Ananias, and Ananias said, here I am, Lord. And he said, I want you to go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And I want you to go and speak with him. And Ananias was deathly afraid. He said, Lord, I've heard about this man from many, how much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem. And he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. And the Lord said to him, I want you to go. He is a chosen instrument of mine. Look at verse 15. Important words. To carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias, probably in fear and trembling, departed and entered that house. He laid his hands on Paul, because it is Paul, Saul at the time. His name changes. On Saul, he says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent to me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And something like scales fell from his eyes. His sight was returned to him. He rose. He was baptized. He finally took some food and was strengthened. And he spent some time with the disciples there and immediately began to preach Jesus out of the Old Testament scriptures. Jews for Jesus would have been proud of him, I think. They especially attempting to use the Old Testament scriptures to show Christ in them to the Jewish people. If you read Table Talk, and you're faithful at it, then you will have already read this. This came out of the January Table Talk, a summary about the conversion of Saul to Paul and so on. It's a good summary. In his marvelous providence and through one of the most unexpected role reversals in all history, the Almighty chose a former enemy of Christ to be the Savior's greatest ambassador to the Gentiles. On the road to Damascus, sometime around A.D. 33, Jesus changed Saul of Tarsus from a legalistic, self-righteous persecutor of the church to Paul, the Christ-exalting, grace-proclaiming pastor, theologian, and apostle to the nations. Until his death some 30 years later at the hands of Nero, Paul worked to establish the foundation for world evangelization by planting churches throughout the Roman Empire. That is one of the most difficult truths of the scriptures for non-believers to deal with. The transformation, the conversion of Saul to Paul. It was swift, sudden. It was such a radical change. Literally days later, he is now preaching the very Christ that he was fighting against. Paul says, I'm an apostle. And it's not, notice your text, it's not from men nor through man. My apostleship and my gospel comes from God himself. Look at verses 11 and 12. We'll look at these later on in weeks to come in greater detail. But he says, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to stop right there for a moment and think about the implications of this. This is a message of authority. It is absolute truth. It comes from above. It's above any man's opinions or teaching, any Judaizer, any cult, any other world religion that wants to add something to the message of salvation is contrary to the Word of God. And God has given us the high calling of taking this message, yes, to the very nations, to the ends of the earth. Don't lose sight of that. That's what Galatians is all about. And notice he says it didn't come from man, but you look down in your Bible, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Jesus Christ and God the Father. It came to me. Look down in your first chapter there in verse 15 and following. But when he who had set me apart before I was born================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus for a number of years. Jesus Christ called me, he says, and he trained me. The message that I bring to you is the very word of God. So Christ was revealed to him by the Spirit according to God's eternal plan. And notice here in our text, Father and Son are mentioned together twice. It's put like that in this brief salutation. Father and Son are mentioned together, both being God, showing the unity of their purpose. This is God's call, not man's call. And Paul keeps doing that in this opening greeting because he distances himself from these Judaizers who are inserting new ideas into the gospel. And Paul's making it very clear, with a very few words, he's making it abundantly clear, this is from God, not men, O you Galatians, who are falling away so quickly. You see, the church recognized the call. If you read in Acts 13, you see Paul is sent out by the church at Antioch. Paul, Silas, Barnabas, others were sent out. Hands were laid upon them. They prayed over them. They sent them out. We do the same today as we send men into the ministry. Notice, we're talking about the God who raised Christ from the dead. Now, this is the only time in Galatians the resurrection is mentioned. It's pivotal, though. You see, the resurrection ushered in the new creation. This is the fullness of time, the age of God's Son and the Spirit. The resurrection is the supreme proof regarding the truth of the Christian faith. Christ's resurrection proves and establishes all the claims of Christianity. It stands or falls on that. It's the pivot point, you might say, between this age and the age to come. Something else is different about this salutation because Paul continues on and he says, and all the brothers with me. Normally Paul mentions certain individuals by name. These are people who are with him in ministry and in his calling as an apostle, agreeing with him. Paul is definitely not alone, but they're not mentioned by name. Only Jesus Christ and God the Father are mentioned in the same breath, showing forth the very deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember again, it's not from men, so I'm not going to name a bunch of names that you know. No, it's from God. That's why Paul doesn't mention anybody here. And notice again, to the churches of Galatia, and I told you last Sunday there are two theories on whether it was North Galatia or South Galatia. I believe in the South or the Southern Galatia theory. There are about five churches there that Acts shows us Paul went to and preached and then went back again a second time and ministered to. But something strange as well about this, because normally in a greeting, Paul will say, I'm praying for you. I've heard these good things about you. You read about the Corinthians, for example. He says many good things about the Corinthians. But in this text, he doesn't commend them at all. He just says to the churches there, period. And he doesn't commend them because right now his greatest concern is a number of them are quickly turning away from the gospel, turning away from the faith. And Paul says, that's the focus. I'm not going to get us off. I'm not going to commend anything. We have to be very focused here. And so that's what he does. Beloved, God's word is our word of authority. When we speak out God's word, when God speaks his word through us, that is a word of power and authority. That's where we stand. God says, I send my word forth, and it doesn't return to me void. I accomplish my purpose for which I sent it. And God calls men to ministry. God gives men particular gifts for ministry. And then the church recognizes those gifts, and it is the church that sends them into ministry. You know, we live in the day and age of Lone Ranger Christianity, where someone gets an idea and they're out and about and they're doing their thing. And there's all kinds of people out there preaching and doing all kinds of things, and they've not been trained nor recognized nor sent by the church at all. And yet, I challenge you, read the book of Acts, New Testament epistles, you'll find that that wasn't the case in the biblical context. Men don't call themselves, and men don't send themselves. No, the church is the one who recognizes their gifts. God is the one who calls. And that's what Paul is talking about here. I'm an apostle, not by my own will, my own choice. It was Jesus Christ calling upon my life. Point number two, Paul's God-given message. We see it in verses 3 and 4. He begins, and this is common to his other salutations in other epistles, grace to you and peace. A wonderful statement. And you've read that hundreds of times when you've read in your Bible. Do you stop and consider what it means? What does it mean? Grace is God's unconditional, and it's always grace first, peace follows grace. It's His unconditional goodwill. It's His unmerited favor towards His chosen people, towards sinners. It is God giving them the desire and the power to believe in the good news of the gospel. We have believed by grace. And peace is the blessed fruit. It's the result of believing in Christ. First of all, it's peace with God on the vertical level. It's being reconciled to God and having a right relationship with Him through the righteousness of Christ. I relate to Him and heaven's gates are open. The Holy of Holies is open to me because I'm reconciled to Him through, and I have peace with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. It's also an inner peace. You see, when you come to Jesus Christ and you really have believed on Him savingly so, the big question is answered. And you say, well, what's the big question? There should be a track on the back table. We should have a bunch of them back there. You should be taking them with you, and I hope handing them out to people who have questions about the gospel. It talks about the three most important questions. The big question is this. If I were to die today, and you don't know what today holds, I don't. If I were to die today and stand before the sovereign God of heaven and earth, what would I say to Him? Would I be confident in my heart that I have believed on Christ, and when I die, I'm going to go and be with Him, you see? If you haven't answered that question, if you're not sure, you need to find out the answer. You need to open the Scriptures. You need to cry out to God. And as the Scripture exhorts us, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that death is a door for you into glory, not a door into the black, dark unknown, or a door into a place of judgment. But you see, we have that inner peace. Those of us who have believed on Christ, we know that we're ready. Are you ready? And then, as a way of application, something flows from that. And here's what it is. I've now become a peacemaker. We're not always peacemakers. Sometimes we're fighters, and we ought not to be. But we're called to be peacemakers as a result of our union with Christ. And you know what? We don't have this peace because we've been good. We don't have this peace because we're law-abiding citizens or because we attempt to keep the Ten Commandments, the law of God. That's not the point. It's only by believing in Christ, in what the Father and the Son, notice how the text puts it, the Father and the Son have provided. Notice verse 4. Here's how salvation takes place. Who gave himself for our sins. The preposition for, huper, means substituted. Not just as someone who was a good example, but someone who was a literal substitute in our place. And that is so important. He made him, the Father made the Son, who knew no sin. Christ was sinless. To become sin, to be made sin, a sin bearer on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, our sins were laid upon him. And as Herman mentioned earlier today, Christ went through hell on the cross. You see, it wasn't after the tomb or somewhere after that, as the Apostles' Creed puts it. I think that's a little goofed up, actually. It should be worded a little differently than that. The timing, if there's a logical temporal sequence there in the Apostles' Creed, he went through hell when he was on the cross, those 3 hours, receiving the full punishment and wrath of God for our sins. That's hell. When he died, his soul went to be with his heavenly Father. See, his body was laid in the tomb until the third day. And so he was our substitute. His righteousness is imputed or given to us as a gift. It's a declared gift. You believe in my Son, and I give you that righteousness. I look upon you as being entirely righteous in him, not in yourself. And people get hung up over that. And we need to get that very, very clear in our own minds that it's not by my performance, but it's by his perfect finished work. And that given to me as a sinner and my sin laid on him as a sin bearer, that's the exchange. When I believe on him, God reckons that so. The only thing that you and I bring to the table is our sin. He brings positive righteousness, life in his name, a holy sacrificial death. See, someone has to pay the price. He paid it. And the resurrection from the dead, even physical life, that physical resurrection of the body. And as a result of his work on the cross, that death on the cross, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And notice Paul tells us the result. To deliver us from the present evil age. The word deliver could be translated rescue. And this word is used in different places in the New Testament. For example, to deliver or rescue from danger. Stephen, when he's speaking to the Sanhedrin, is talking about Israel's rescue out of Egypt when they were in bondage. That's the word that he uses. The same word deliver or rescue is used by Peter when he's telling the disciples, I was delivered or rescued out of prison before Herod could have me executed. Same word. Again, a Roman commander in the book of Acts, we read, rescued Paul from a mob in Jerusalem who wanted to kill him. The same word. Paul uses it here in a metaphorical sense. God, or Christ through his death has delivered us, rescued us from the present evil age. Now, what's that about? Age, aeon, does not refer to a period of time, but to a passing transitory system. In this case, it's the evil satanic world system that has dominated the world since the fall. John writes about it. You want to turn with me to the Epistle of John, 1 John 5. Notice verses 4 and 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's the world system, you see. That's the present evil age he's talking about. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Another example of this is in Paul's writings and to the Philippians. If you turn to Philippians chapter 3, we read it today. I've already read this text. Paul is talking about pressing on toward Christ here, growing in grace, letting what's behind be behind. Stop looking back, look up, look ahead, keep looking unto Jesus, you see, following hard after him. But some didn't do that. Look at verse 19 of Philippians 3. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Their mind, their hearts, their affections are set on the present evil age. But, notice the contrast here, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he brings up the resurrection here, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, has made us citizens of heaven. And so now, if you've believed in Christ, you have a dual citizenship. We're citizens of the United States of America, but we're also citizens of heaven, of glory. And we know a certain tension, you see. We live in this world, but yet our hearts are in another place, longing to be with him. You see, we're seated with him in the heavenlies already, spiritually speaking. There's this already not yet tension that we all live with every day of our lives. And notice whose will has brought all of this about. Once again, it's not man. You see this? You see how Paul's emphasizing this? It's according to the will of our God and Father. He is the source. In Acts chapter 2, we read about the very sacrifice of Christ and what took place as being the Father's will, though the sinners involved in it are responsible for their sins. But in Acts 2:22 and 3, in Peter's sermon here, Men of Israel, he says, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. It's the Father's will for Christ to come and to die for sinners that we might have hope. He is the source. Can you see why Paul is so upset about somebody tampering with the gospel and adding to the gospel? When from beginning to end, it's the sovereign Lord who is responsible for all of it. And here's the final point this morning. Paul's God-given motive, his focus, it should be ours. Look at verse 5. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, what is that? He doxologizes there. I mean, this is the only time Paul puts a doxology at the end of his salutation, at the end of his greeting. Normally it's later on in the epistle or near the very end of the epistle is when he doxologizes and worships. Not always, but this is very unique in what he's done here. Once again, remember, it's a God focus that Paul is giving to us here in this epistle. He stops and he worships. You see, salvation is from him. Salvation is from the Lord. It's his perfect, sovereign plan. If God had not acted in time and history through his Son, the whole human race would be lost. I mean, there would be all kinds of religions springing up all over the place, and every single human would go to hell. Unless God had done something. God's salvation is through him. He sent his holy Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who could represent the human race, who could represent humanity, flesh and blood. Our own nature, you see, he took our nature upon himself. And yet being God, he's the only one who could have received the full wrath of God and been sustained under that wrath. We have no comprehension as to what it meant when our sins were placed on Jesus Christ. And he went through hell on the cross. We have no concept of that. How awful that was. But it's also to him. Our salvation is from him and it's through him, his Son. And it's also to him. It's to his glory alone. And so to tamper with or to add to or take away from God's gospel is to try to take some of his glory. And God says, I will not share my glory with anybody. Why should he? Now, the Apostle Paul doxologizes over the whole gospel. If you want to turn with me to Romans chapter 11, he doesn't do it in the salutation. He does it through about 2/3 of the book. He spent chapters opening up the need and opening up the gospel and demonstrating the impact of that gospel, the blessedness of it. And then he ends by just saying, I've got to worship. Because the whole focus of that gospel is to be upon him. Look at Romans 11, 33 and following. He says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Wow. A couple of thoughts as we conclude here this morning. Our chief end. What's your chief end? What's your purpose in this life, in this world? Are you fulfilling it? Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Are you doing that? Only by believing in Christ and living in the power of the gospel can we fulfill our purpose in this life. Only by walking in him, looking unto him, committing our life to him day in and day out, rejoicing in him. Jesus living his life in and through us. It's the Christ-centered life. That's why you are called a Christian, see. That's your identity. That's who you are now. It's all about Christ. And so I bring us back to the proposition statement. The Lord has given to his church the authority. He gave Paul the authority to be an apostle. He gives the church the authority to take his gospel, you see. He's given us the message of the gospel. More precious than anything this world has to offer. Nothing is more precious. It's the pearl of great price. And he's given us the motive, beloved. It's not for me or you. It's for the glory of his great name that we are to live, that we are to worship, that we are to do all things, eating or drinking, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's not hide that gospel. And sometimes by our indifference, I'm saved, I'm in a church, things are going well, fine, and we just kind of let it go from there. It's almost as if we've hidden the gospel. Don't hide the gospel. Let's not change it or add to it. No, let's proclaim it. We're called to do that. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, the fact that we are here this morning is not by chance. It really isn't by our own design, although we had thoughts about coming here, got ready, and we came. But behind all things is the sovereign Lord, is your sovereign decree. We are so very grateful that you saw Christ as his lamb slain before the foundation of the world. How can we comprehend these kind of things, Father? But we believe them, even though we can't fully comprehend them. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the good news of the gospel. We're here to hear that today. We are so grateful that you have been gracious unto us and permitted us to hear the words that Christ Jesus has come into this world to save sinners. Because we qualify for that. And Lord, now we thank you for the gospel in our lives each and every day, the good news that we preach to ourselves that we are okay in Jesus. Lord, grant us the grace this week through divine appointments to spread that good news, not to hide it, but to live it, and out of love and humility and compassion to tell others, to invite them to church, to hand them a tract, to encourage them to read the Word of God. Lord, grant us that marvelous, blessed opportunity to do so faithfully, humbly, carefully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.